Comedy Store Wrestling is brought to you by Pro-Am Belts. They make the coolest custom belts for any occasion you may have. We're in the middle of fantasy football season, so why not get yourself a custom belt instead of a little trophy? What is this, Little League? You want to be a champion. And these are the real deal. Real leather, heavy-duty plates, nothing like it out there. Follow them on Instagram at Pro-Am Belts. Make sure to use the promo code 10FF to get 10% off your custom belt today.
This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me as always, to my left, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
Always a pleasure, man.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's my pleasure to be in your presence. It's also my pleasure to be in this new setup we got going on here at the Comedy Store Studios in the same room with our producer, Mr. John Sosis. How are you, brother?
What's up, guys?
We have a lot of wrestling to talk about. There's
Can
a lot
I
of stuff that happened. Yeah.
Before we start, I just have to thank Vicky Guerrero for sending me a care package today that included an autographed Eddie action figure. With micro brawlers, a beautiful buxom picture of Vicky.
Hello.
Definitely did not curb my appetite, but she's a taken woman. So thank you to Vicky Guerrero, and vote for her in the Fabulous Over 40 contest. You can see the link on my Instagram. I love you, Vicky.
Also, watch the episode of her show with Earl. Is that what it's called?
Why I'm where I'm at. I didn't remember I was on her podcast this week.
He's just swooning over the gifts.
Where if you want to see a 54-year-old man cry at the end of a podcast, I welled up when I started talking about Eddie. And,
Blame you.
I mean, she's the best, so thank you, Vicky.
Yes, hopefully we can get her on the show sometime. That'd be good.
Oh, it's booked. I got a lot of AEW people coming in the week of the 11th.
Hell yeah, there you go. Real quick, before we get into the news and stories and everything, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors over at Pro-Am Belts. Make sure to go check them out at Pro-Am Belts on Instagram. Use the promo code 10FF. Get yourself a custom belt like this one right here. It's beautiful, heavy plates, real authentic feel to it. So, don't get some shitty-ass trophy that you get at Walmart or Michaels or something. Get yourself a custom championship belt for your fantasy league, your fantasy football league, not just fantasy.
You could get fantasy football, fantasy hockey, fantasy basketball, and if you're a real loser and you want a roast battle belt, they'll probably make one of those too. You don't even have to battle. Just get one made up.
It's
as legitimate as the one they use upstairs.
That's right. All right. So I put this in the wrong order. So let's talk a little bit first about Full Gear, just because we never really got a chance to talk about it. That was a while back. But MJF is the champ. MJF has taken the belt. And almost exactly as I predicted with William Regal betraying John Moxley.
But then he later betrayed William Regal.
Correct.
I don't know. It doesn't really make... just when I was giving them credit for getting better storylines and the Elite promos, like clearly someone was helping with the writing of those things. And I'll wait to see how it pans out. But it doesn't make sense that he would turn on the guy a week later that got him the belt.
He did say one line that kind of made sense, which was, he made a deal with the devil and he's been calling himself the devil. So, I mean, I guess kind of. But the rumor mill is a-flowing right now with the fact that William Regal might be on his way out of AEW.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's going to wrestle again.
No. But the rumors are flowing that Trips wants him back at WWE because that was his right-hand man in NXT back in the day when it was back Black and Gold brand.
So. I mean, that's a major mistake if they let him go because I think a voice of reason is needed in AEW. That would almost be as harmful as losing MJF in 2024.
Yeah.
Because you need someone to like put the bucks in Omega and Punk if he comes back. And even Jericho, I think, would secede to Regal and like, hey, this is how backstage should be.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it could be a work. There's rumors also that his contract is for another 3 years, so that he's not going anywhere. So who knows? I do agree with you that it's a little weird that he turned on Regal on Dynamite, the first appearance back. But, you know, he doesn't need Regal either. We've been saying this. MJF doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need the Firm. He doesn't need Regal.
I mean, the Firm might be the most useless faction in the history of factions. I mean, it just, you know, I want to see Morrissey by himself. But I think, you know, the turning on Regal so fast a week later after he turned on Moxley, it just, I like things that are more built up. And even Regal kind of teasing his turn on Moxley was a couple weeks. You know, there's a couple weird looks he would give Moxley. So you built up an anticipation. There was no anticipation for this heel turn.
But the whole thing was weird with the turn on Moxley, just because Moxley was part of a faction that was still with Regal. So it's like one thing if, like, Evolution, if everybody turned on Batista, that's or Randy Orton or whoever, that's different than what they did, which, like, how was that going to work if three of the other guys in the faction were still not turning on Moxley and Regal did? That whole thing was messy, so I think Regal is legitimately on his way out.
Yeah, they're just trying to piece together a story.
I think they didn't know what to do with them on Wednesday, and then when Triple H sent that tweet out, that, I think, was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, Triple H tweeted out something about Regal. I don't remember exactly.
It was a clip of all of the NXT War Games openings where Regal screamed War Games.
Right.
And I was like, all right, this is Vince McMahon wouldn't have done this, which is why I'm going to really like the Triple H era. Vince McMahon would not have done that cheap shot. That was a cheap shot, but it was kind of funny.
But yeah. I mean, you also have MJF mentioned Triple H by name.
Yeah, he said
Trips.
Yeah, he said Trips.
So I think I like this. I don't think I've ever seen this before where the other company is acknowledging people in the other company by name.
Yeah.
And I, this is something I missed on when one of the Bucks botched the Buckshot Lariat on purpose. Like, that was a very personal jab at, Hangman.
Yeah, that match was in, they did a couple, it wasn't just Hangman. CM Punk does the Buckshot Lariat too.
Who's the other one that did it better than both of them again?
Ooh.
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, yeah. Logan Paul.
But I do like this.
Kenny biting that arm was hilarious to me.
jabs. It's very childish.
Are we all on the same page that it's a work yet?
It's not a work.
You don't think it's a work?
No.
They're making fun of the situation now. CM Punk is going on.
They are very immature guys. I've met them. I've seen their work on BTE. Like, they are immature.
Wait,
I feel
they
like
were on BTE? Oh, BET.
Being the Elite. Being the Elite, not BET.
But CM Punk in the commentator's booth for, was it UFC or?
No, it was an MMA thing, but yeah, CFFA that, or some shit.
That
like
was
that.
Out of character for CM Punk to make a reference to it. It's such a work. They were just injured.
I don't know, man.
I don't think it's a work. I think for once they showed brains and said, let's make money out of this.
Yeah, just make poke fun. They knew exactly what they were doing. And like I said, if you watch Being the Elite, you know that the Bucks and Kenny and the Good Brothers are all just, there's dick and fart jokes all the time. They're just childish, which I'm not against. I love childish humor. I'm all for it. A lot of people online are complaining, like, oh, this is so childish. CM Punk was right. Look at all these jabs they're taking. It's like, yeah, I would do the same fucking thing because it's hilarious that someone got bit. You know what I mean? So why
it's
not?
It's funny. Like,
yeah, I think it's funny.
It's wrestling, for God's sake. Yeah. You know, and I think Omega's a bit of a troll.
Yeah, absolutely. He's an internet guy.
So, but he cuts great promos. I mean, this has nothing to do with anything, but his Wrestle Kingdom 17 promo against Ospreay, like, that was a powerful promo, mainly because he did it 80% in Japanese, which I found really impressive.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he goes into English and he's, I'm coming for you, Will. Like, I got hard as a rock.
Was that the was that the one that just came out?
Yeah.
Yeah. The one I sent you guys in the group chat, it's him with sunglasses. It happened during a show. Like, they put it on the screen during one of the New Japan shows.
It's really well done. And if anyone can get me those exact glasses, you know me, I got a lot of money from a lot of TV shows that are canceled. I want those glasses. I'll buy the ones Omega had on if he's listening. I doubt he is.
Oh, God, you're one of those. Yeah. Wait, what am I?
You get the aura.
No, my favorite thing is Sam Roberts. He bought Mick Foley's flannel from, like, WrestleMania 2000 or something.
Good Lord.
Oh, I would do that.
Oh, God.
I was going to pay for season one of Roast Battle. You know, I was doing, like, basically a ripoff of Rick Rude. And I saw a pair of his ring-worn, not tights, but leggings, for $2,500. And I bought them. And then a Comedy Central executive said, we can't have you wear those because of the lips on the crotch.
Oh, come on.
But you'll air the Trevor Noah Show? Like, get out of now.
Get your shit together, Comedy Central. Anyway, there's too much to talk about, so I'm just going to do, like, quick highlights. Soraya's match, that was in full gear, right?
Yes.
It was a good match.
I didn't expect a bunch of high-flying Hurricane Ranas.
It was a very long match, too. I didn't expect it to go that long.
I mean, it was, they got to protect her neck.
Protect
it was okay.
Your neck.
A B. I give it a B.
Yeah. Wait, did we talk about this when we did our Super Survivor Series predictions? I feel like we might have.
No, we didn't. We
never talked about Phil Gear, right?
No, we did the Survivor Series predictions. We just sent them in. We didn't have an episode.
Oh, that's right. We did the predictions at Earl's Place for Full Gear.
Yeah. Who cares? No one's listening to this podcast anyway.
That's not true.
That is not true.
Let's talk about WrestleMania 6.
I acknowledge our fans.
I'm just kidding. I love you guys.
What else happened at Full Gear? That's that pops in your. Oh,
well, the Omega and the Bucks.
Yeah, the first of seven. I cannot believe we're gonna get seven matches. Look, at first I was excited about this. And then John was like, no, this is the same shit over and over. I was like, no, they'll find a way. But now that we're three matches in, I'm like, yeah, that's a bit much.
I mean, I think they have great chemistry, the six of them.
Oh, absolutely. And they're all going to be great matches, I'm sure.
And I do like the fact that they're kind of putting over the other guys. Like, you know, Omega and the Bucks, you can't put them over any more than they are. So I do like that they are letting the other guys shine for a little bit. I can't imagine them losing.
No.
But this is AEW, so...
I had friends that were complaining, saying that the Bucks and Kenny only know how to book themselves. And for people that are on that train, all I got to say is, if that was the case, why would they lose the first two matches? They're just helping. Yeah, I don't know. Let's not get into that. But what else happened?
I mean, I was watching I was watching the second match. When was that? That was this week.
Dynamite, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was the third match. Yeah. The amount of flips, I was like, they're just increasing the chances that they get hurt, this roster cannot afford it.
Yeah, and I mean, but that's all six of those competitors, that's their style. They're flippy and innovative.
That's why I think this whole best of seven thing is ridiculous, because they're going to go all seven. Yeah. We know that already, and it's just you're risking one of your biggest names getting hurt.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they don't win. Hopefully it doesn't end with them winning and then all of them injured and out of TV for 6 months.
So. Well, when's the next pay-per-view? Like March?
we got the Ring of Honor anal battle coming.
Good job there on the graphic. Who'd they hire to do the graphics for that? Gidley? Fuck.
Jeez, man. Honestly, like... No one at AEW saw anal battle when they saw that fucking graphic.
Well, I got to be honest. When you guys sent it to me originally, I was too embarrassed to go, I don't understand the joke. my vision's so bad, I totally saw a final battle.
Oh, I saw it immediately.
I didn't. I thought it was the white thing on Joe's eye that, because there was like a streak.
Jizz.
I thought,
none of it is helping. It's the anal battle text. It's Joe with a towel and like white shit on his face. None of it worked, but whatever. That's the next pay-per-view for them. And then
AEW,
they got something coming up. They said it the other day.
It's like
TV.
March, right?
Yeah, in like March.
So I would like to see, because the final, if it does go seven... and it's in LA at the Forum. I'm not calling it the Kia Forum. Mm.
They're absolutely going to do that. They're going to go to Game 7 here in LA because it's the home crowd for the Bucks. The pop is going to be huge when they win the belt.
And then you have Ospreay and the Empire come out.
Ooh.
And you set it up. Then you got a couple months to build it. You can play off of Ospreay and Omega's Wrestle Kingdom battle. I mean, that's good booking if they do that.
It's just, look, we can agree that it is a very weird and wacky time in pro wrestling when we have Kenny Omega doing Wrestle Kingdom. We also have WWE talent with Carl Anderson is doing a match with Hikuleo finally in New Japan. We have New Japan being mentioned, Bullet Club history being explained during Survivor Series. They explained the whole history of Bullet Club. New Japan is the glue that is bringing everyone together. It's kind of weird.
I mean, it is a it's a weird time because, you know, back in the territory days, there were no affiliations with other companies. You certainly wouldn't see, like, Ric Flair mention Hogan in a promo or Magnum TA mention, I don't know, Don Morocco or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat. And the personal jabs, you never saw, like, the mocking of, like, what the Bucks did with, I thought it was Hangman Page, but I guess it could have been Punk too.
Yeah.
And the biting, like, you didn't.
I mean, I feel like maybe during the Monday Night Wars, WCW was throwing jabs.
Well,
but,
yeah.
But not much.
They were, I especially when people jumped over. I think the biggest thing is that all WWE did, Triple H said, these are no longer banned things. I don't think Triple H said, now we're going to start talking about other companies. He's like, let's build the history and we can mention these things now. I still think it's the door goes one way. Like, they're going to all mention Triple H. They're going to all mention present day WWE. WWE is not going to acknowledge
AEW.
I think,
I mean, they have in the past. I know
somebody
Sammy
did recently. I think Sami Zayn just did.
Not
Triple
recently.
Triple H did when he said, oh, congratulations, they beat NXT.
Right, yeah.
But, you know that bothered him.
Oh, but that you have to search out that interview. I don't think we'll see it on WWE TV to the extent we see it on AEW, because AEW needs those views. So they need stuff like that to blow up, where WWE does not.
Yeah. No, the Sammy thing was a while back, actually, when they first started AEW. He was doing some weird, like, you know, ask me anything kind of thing, where he was sitting in an electric chair or some shit. And somebody, he's like, you can ask me anything. You can ask me about AEW. And the crowd went fucking crazy. I think it was on a Raw that they did that. But anyway.
He's come a long way, huh?
He's come a long way. Now he's at the top with the big dog. We'll talk about that.
The top of the bottom.
So, Full Gear, what did you think? Yes, or good? Good pay-per-view?
I mean, it was okay. It wasn't great. A little long.
Yeah, as all of them are.
But I didn't think there was a bad match. Like, even the Jade match, which I'm just not vibing with her. You think I would, because she's a great physical
specimen.
I thought the biggest mistake they did was putting the Jade match right after the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I felt bad for them. It's like putting up someone after Chappelle. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I guess someone's got to do it. But I thought there could have, that match didn't get the love it could have, because, you know, you put that match second, you knew it was going to be the hottest one of the night. You know, I don't know what match would have been appropriate, but I felt bad for the women, actually, just because I mean, that Bucks match was hot. That was a hot crowd. And the first match, was it Luke Perry, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus?
Luchasaurus in a cage.
That spot, that's my only complaint with both companies, is that there was kind of a similar spot in the Survivor Series, you know, off the cage.
Mm, yeah.
Like, it was literally the same spot.
Yeah.
But that was a good, I wasn't that excited about that match. Initially, I'm just not into the feud. And that was a great, I thought the first two matches were awesome. And then it was a little hit or miss.
Yeah. Now, another thing that happened on that pay-per-view was Samoa Joe beating Wardlow, which I was not expecting. I love Samoa Joe. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he has the belts. I wouldn't have taken it off Wardlow just yet, but
it made sense. They didn't make Wardlow look weak.
No, yeah, they didn't, you know, bury Wardlow at all.
But I think they're going to do that long-term storytelling. Wardlow's going after MJF. I mean, that you had to take the belt off him.
Yeah, that's true. And another jab from AEW to WWE, I don't know, maybe it's a subtle one that maybe not a lot of people have picked up on. Samoa Joe, you know what Roman Reigns' real name is? Mm-hmm. Joe. And he's Samoan. And now they both have two belts.
Oh, okay.
Samoa Joe actually brought it up on TV. He's like, I'm the real, you know, double champ or whatever, right. The top of the hill. I think he did it on Dynamite, but that's a nice little subtle jab. I think that's one of the reasons they did it. It's like, let's have our own Samoan Joseph carrying two belts around.
I mean, I love Samoa Joe, and I love him as a heel.
Yeah.
I didn't really like the tag team.
War Joe. That's the thing with Joe, too. Like, he's a heel, but everybody's cheering him. Everybody loves him.
Well, I would put Wardlow. He's not horrible on the mic, but I think he needs a manager. Like, he's not... He reminds me of Reigns on the mic initially, which is, okay, it's just not in him to... You know, it's just a lot of grunting and, you know, it's Wardlow's world.
Yeah, that saying sucks, dude. Pick a new one.
But I don't... You know, that's where I think AEW can improve is with their managers. You know, I know you have Stokely Hathaway. He hasn't found his groove yet, in my opinion. You know, maybe pair him with those two together. I'd rather Wardlow just concentrate on being like that Goldberg-esque character. But now they've kind of, you know, they've had him lose. So they seem a little confused with how to proceed with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Wardlow squashed MJF. Are they going to do that again?
Well, that was my main complaint about that battle. What was that, a year ago? I said, you've spent 2 years building up MJF as your, you know, your Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect type heel. And then he was squashed in 5 minutes. Now you got to kind of rebrand him. And by the time you, which I think they have done, I don't think too many people remember that match. Only the, you know, the marks like us can remember every.
Yeah, but they had to send him away for 3 months or something to rebrand. Like, you can't. The way that they rebranded Seth Rollins, that's how you rebrand someone. They literally sent MJF away for 3 months. Took his merch off the show. Like, it was a dumb business move to rebrand someone that you just intentionally squashed.
Yep.
Well, the squash match still to this day does not make any sense.
But didn't he get squashed by multiple people? Like,
not real. Not.
I thought he lost like every match he was in. He lost to Mox. He lost to Jericho. He lost to Punk. Wardlow. He lost to Punk.
But I like the Punk battle was good. It was a great bloody the dog collar match.
Yeah.
The Wardlow was such a, you know, you felt like you were watching Iron Mike Sharp against Hulk Hogan. Like, it was just like, oh boy, they're gonna have to rebuild, retool a guy they just spent 2 years. It made no sense to me. But you know, 2 years later, they've pretty much wash their hands of that awful decision.
Yeah. moving on to the other pay-per-view, which almost is like a complete contrast to AEW. Survivor Series, War Games, only had 5 matches. I was actually surprised when we were putting together the grid. I'm like, 5 matches? Like, that's... Now that we're used to AEW putting on 27 matches on their pay-per-views, I felt a little short.
I like shorter's
but
better.
I liked it. Yeah.
I have a very short attention span, so I will say WWE, even though I'm an AEW guy, I do think pay-per-views could be shortened up a little bit. I understand both companies have 1,000 wrestlers. You got to use them at some point, but I did like the 5-match. You know, it wasn't that quick, but it was a nice pace.
Yeah.
Well, it was the same length, the pay-per-view. It was just less matches. The matches went longer because of War Games.
But I just think it flowed better. Like, AEW, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
There was points where I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's the that sort of, when there are more matches, if there's something you're into versus something you're not into, you're more likely to make more people happy if you have more variety. My thing was, they used all of their champions in War Games. Wasn't there only one title match? Oh, two. I think it was the Rollins match and...
Yeah, the Rollins match and the Roman match, right?
No, Roman
was in the battle War Game, yeah.
And the Bianca... Not Bianca, the other title. The
Ronda Rousey and...
Ronda, if you want to call it a wrestling match.
That was terrible.
That disaster. That was we're going to get to after. Oof. But when you look at the big four pay-per-views... To have all of your champions locked up in a match, 20 of their superstars were locked up.
Yeah.
In the War Games match, 20 of their biggest names were in 2 matches. That is insane. Not to say that wasn't old school Survivor Series, used to be, what, the 4-on-4?
Yeah.
But this was nuts. It was like, nothing, this pay-per-view meant nothing.
Yeah, I mean, granted, some of the best storytelling WWE has done to this day was that Bloodline match. The whole thing that went down with Sammy, that moment at the end when they finally embraced, when he finally turned on KO, and like we all know what's coming, and you know, I'll jump into that now, but I think it's the most interesting story in WWE. The Bloodline thing with Sammy finally getting accepted by Jey Uso, great storytelling the whole time. But I agree. And you know, as much as I enjoyed the War Games, I would like to see a return to the original Survival Series, survival match, like where, you know, it could end up 1 versus 4 or 5, you know what
and
I mean?
And that might be a fun, and Triple H was saying something like this in the presser afterwards, but it might be fun to turn War Games into the old Survivor Series format, where if you get eliminated in the War Games match, you're eliminated. And it might be 5-on-1 in a cage.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
There's something they could do, but I just don't like all the titles being held up. Roman has 2. The Usos have 2.
Yep.
It's like that's 4 titles between one side of the ring.
Yeah. And now to go into some more of a rumor mill, dirt sheets territory with Roman and everything that's going on with Sammy. What I've read so far, Roman got some heat apparently with KO over an unplanned spot. Apparently KO slapped him in the ear. That wasn't really planned, and rumors were that he ruptured his eardrum, and he was like cursing in the back. But apparently, that has not affected the plans. And the plans currently are supposedly to have Roman versus KO at the Rumble, and then Sammy eventually turning and going up against Roman at Elimination Chamber, which is the one that comes after Rumble. And that will lead to Sammy and KO teaming up against the Usos for the tag titles at Mania. And it kind of makes sense. You know, it's all dirt sheet rumor stuff, but that's where you have to go with that story, I think.
I would like it if it panned out like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's good long-term storytelling instead of these week or two fly-by-night decisions. Yeah. I mean, I do think Triple H, like I said, he's said that he's a huge fan of the old school NWA, which, I mean, they might have taken too long with their storylines.
Yeah.
You know, it did get you invested in the outcome. You know, and if people care about the outcome, they're going to order the pay-per-views and watch the shit.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good outcome. I like that. I think WWE knows that everybody assumes Sammy is going to turn at some point. And so they have been putting out these little clips on their Instagram of Sammy and the Usos hanging out from years ago, kind of saying like, hey, man, Sammy's been there since day one. Like they just recently posted a story of Sammy doing that handshake he does with the Usos, but from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a little like,
that's, you know, it's cool that they're putting a lot into this storyline. And it's interesting because the storyline was supposed to end a while ago. They're just going off of, hey, man, the crowd loves it, so let's just keep going. Figure out how do we do this. After that, we got the hashtag Fire Ronda Rousey has been trending almost daily. That match, was it Shotzi? John? Was it Shotzi that Ronda Rousey?
That thing that they put on in the middle of the pay-per-view?
Horrendous.
Poor Shotzi, because I feel like she wasn't getting a fair shake when she first got brought up.
Yeah.
She finally got her opportunity, and it had to be against Ronda Rousey, who is just enough.
She doesn't seem like she wants to be there.
You know, I don't think she sells tickets either.
Yeah, no one gives a
shit. She's not Brock Lesnar. You could have Brock Lesnar come in every week, get his ass beat, or just take a pin or pin someone illegally, whatever the deal is, leave for a few months, and they'll pay to see him next time. He can do no wrong. Ronda is not the same.
No.
Well, I mean, I think also because her last two MMA fights, she got destroyed. Now, granted, they were a couple of years ago, but wrestling fans have long memories. She got killed, like brutalized.
But that's real fighting, so I think there's still a respect for that. But I think the lack of respect is that she's just not good. and it looks like she's not doing anything to try and get better. Like, I just don't know. I don't know what her training is, but if you look at Logan Paul, if you look at what people complained about for Roman Reigns, it was always him on the mic. He's a fucking beast on the mic now. Mm-hmm. He visibly got better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She is not getting better. She's getting, she's going to hurt someone.
Yeah, she's awful in the ring. She's awful on the mic. Another part of her heat with people. She's a Sandy Hook denier, apparently. So, you know.
What?
Yeah. That's one of the reasons people fucking hate her.
She is that up, real? Wait, yeah, I have you to look that up.
If you want. Her and her husband, whatever.
Travis Brown.
Yeah, they're apparently, they don't believe that happened. So that's, you know.
You know who she reminds me of? Because he's my favorite of all time, but the Ultimate Warrior. Like, no, from the standpoint of, he was in it for the money.
Yeah.
He was not a great wrestler. Basic moves, like she has basic moves. The Warrior, you know, his promos were so wacky, people still talk about him, but like she's not great on the mic. He wasn't great on the mic. And he had some wacky political beliefs too. We won't get into those.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of Sid, you know, who was like, hey, softball is my thing. I'm just here to do the job. I'll give you what I can. I'm not going to give you any less or any extra. And that's her. Like, I think she's a wrestling fan because she loves Piper. But I don't think her heart is in the business.
No. It's not. And it's weird because Brock has said the same thing. He comes for paychecks.
Oh, yeah.
But when he's there, he fucking delivers. He'll take the shots that he needs to take. If you went to any venue that WWE is performing at and you asked every single person that went in there who they're there to see, not a single person would say Ronda Rousey.
I mean, I think little girls.
Little girls. Little girls.
Nope. Not if you have Bailey on the show. Not if you have Bailey on the show. Not if you have
Alexa.
Not if you have Bianca. Not if you have Becky. That is not the name you're not going to hear Ronda over those people.
But I mean, I do bring up her losing like she did in MMA because, you know, I think male wrestling fans have trouble with her. Like Lesnar lost a few times in MMA, but it wasn't like embarrassing losses. She got knocked out twice viciously. So she's a hard sell to wrestling fans who still think it's semi-real as a badass bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember her in Australia when Holly Holm, like, kicked her in the head. I remember when Amanda Nunes, like, beat her in 48 seconds. You know, so, you know, Lesnar lost once to Overeem with a... You literally heard him go, ouch.
Didn't he have a staph infection?
No, he had diverticulitis.
That's what he had.
But like Overeem, who I always thought should get into wrestling because he's, you know, when he's roiding, he's got this great bod. Funny, when he went to the UFC and had to be tested, he looked a little different. Yeah. But he was a K-1 kickboxer. So like him kicking Lesnar in the liver, like, that's legit.
It doesn't matter how big you are. That shit hurts.
But it wasn't an embarrassing loss.
Right, yeah.
You know, Rousey was, like, unconscious in the first loss. So I do think that affects wrestling fans, you know, when the WWE is portraying her as this badass, unstoppable bitch. And, you know, people just go on YouTube and look those two fights up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the mentality of a UFC fighter who has to trash talk the opponent that they're really going to throw fists at versus a WWE promo. Like, maybe her world is just, maybe Triple H needs to say, hey, don't say fuck, don't say shit, don't say a bunch of these. This is the list of words you can't say. Go do your thing. Because the scripted promos are horrendous.
Little stiff.
They're horrendous. Stiff.
Very Lance Stormish. But I think in her case, she is a badass. I mean, she was a great.
She is. I wish she would go back to the UFC.
But I don't think she respects wrestling because she'll never say this publicly. And I don't have any inside info, but I think when you come from MMA to wrestling, you're like, oh, this shit's fake. I don't think she looks at Alexa Bliss and goes, I'm going to cut a good promo on this bitch because I hate her. It's like, they're just telling me to say she's short. Okay, I'll say that.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard for, Lesnar isn't the greatest of promos either. Like, Heyman was, You know, I would put her with a a Heyman-esque type. You know,
I saw that a lot in the hashtag comments. A lot of people were saying, "Give her Heyman."
Yeah, you can give her Heyman, or just don't make her a champion, a singles champion. Put her with. I like that she's with Shayna. Make them a tag team. Make them go after the tag titles or something. Have both of them be the badass MMA bitches. That's fine. But having her be a single, like, she's just not good, man. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it.
Well, I think you're right, though. Like, you know how they do with Claudio and the Jericho Appreciation Society, where it's, are you a wrestler? Are you an entertainer?
Mm-hmm.
You could do something similar with Ronda and Baszler, who's not exactly, Don Rickles on the mic either. like, they are like, hey, we're real fighters. You guys are entertainers. Like, just rip the idea off.
Right.
Something of that nature, you know.
Yeah, they could do that.
Yeah, but you know who's great on the mic that could also fit into that group? Sonya Deville.
There you go.
Fucking great on the mic, MMA fighter. Let her lead the group. They keep giving her groups to lead anyway. Let her be the voice of the fighters.
MMA fighters.
Yeah. See, I don't think Rousey would ever let that happen.
No, absolutely not. But so. She's also not just. But the mic alone. Forget the mic. She's just not good at wrestling.
But you can market her, like, you know, I'll bring up the Warrior again. That guy was, rest in peace, and he's my favorite. He was brutal in the ring from a technical style, but he's still talked about 30 years later. Like, you can make someone who's not good in the ring watchable. Like, maybe put some arm tassels around her or something. Have her shake the ropes. I don't know.
Have her look like she actually cares about walking down the aisle.
I mean, that's tough.
That walk down the aisle is fucking annoying too. Yeah, it's like enough.
Yeah. You know, and I also read online that apparently she brought in Brian Kendrick to produce that match. The worst match on the pay-per-view. You brought in a guy who has heat with everyone because he also went on a politically incorrect rant on the internet and everybody turned on him, and that's why AEW didn't want to, you know, they booked actually Brian Kendrick for a match and the internet just went, what? And they just like, oh, no, never mind. We're kidding. We're not doing that match. So she brought in Brian Kendrick. It was him and who was Chad Gable's partner? Jason Jordan. Is it Jason Jordan? Is that name right?
Yeah.
That was the other producer on that match. He sucked.
Bring in a guy like, I don't know who's Malenko affiliated with right now.
Dean Malenko?
Yeah. But he's a great, like, I could see him or someone like him.
I think
he's
still with WWE.
Yeah.
But he's a guy, obviously, his technical abilities are
I don't amazing. Think he's doing so well. Or am I thinking Perry Saturn? I think Perry Saturn.
I definitely would not bring in Perry Saturn to help with. But, like, Malenko is, he's the man of 1,000 moves. Now, whether they respect him enough to listen to him is, you know, Rousey, since she did like Piper, I think would at least listen to someone like Malenko. Go, hey, this is what your girl should do, blah, blah, blah. Like, they need guidance from someone who Rousey respects, which who knows who that is.
But I don't think this was a producer problem. This is a Rousey problem. I never thought I'd see Shotzi carrying a match.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's really good and carried that fucking match.
I feel bad for her, too, as you said. I'm a big fan of hers. Only, you know, not only just she fits my aesthetic, but, she's I've seen her in the indies for years. She's
Wait, what do you mean?
Talented.
She fits your aesthetic.
Tattoos, gothy, kind of metalhead, kind of green hair, you know, also my type, you know. And by the way, here's a fun fact for Earl.
I know it's a Doudrop reference.
No. Something for you to Google when you get home. Her, she's posed nude before. Her areolas are shaped into hearts. It's an interesting factoid.
I'm not really into weird stuff like that.
I mean, it's just as a gag, it's good to look it up. Like, I've never seen that before.
I'm 54.
How do you
years.
Even do that?
I'm not, at the age of 54, I'm not Googling nipples in shape of hearts. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, but you will buy an MJF doll. Okay, let's move
100%.
Along
100%. You got New Japan shirts. I don't even think
this
they're
is
related
Muda
right here, bro. Who's that?
Muda.
Okay.
This guy. And look at the NWO on the side.
Well, that's why I got confused. When was he in the NWO?
I don't know. I'm sure when Virgil was in it at some point. Who fucking knows?
Virgil.
I was in the NWO at some
everyone
point.
Everyone was in the NWO.
I knew it was downhill when Virgil and Horace Hogan were in a tag match. I'm like, ooh, this is not good.
Speaking of old shit, Ricky Steamboat.
Wait, before we get to that, speaking of New Japan, did you guys see the clip of Hogan in New Japan?
Oh, I sent that to you.
No, I
did you?
See it.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, I sent the Twitter link on the group chat.
Oh,
yeah, dude. Hogan in New Japan is a whole different
Jesus
thing.
Jesus Christ.
Real moves. Real good moves.
Oh, like back in the day.
He's not catering to the audience. He's doing some real wrestling
toe
moves.
Holds and drops and scissor leg drops. And
is this in like the Inoki Giant Baba era? Like the 80s?
I don't think it's the 80s. He was balding already, so I'm thinking like 90s, but I don't know, man. Maybe it was 80s. But yeah, it's an old New Japan match. You should look them up. I mean, check out the clip I put in the group chat, but he is a different wrestler in New Japan.
He's a wrestler. He's not an entertainer.
Wrestler, like pro that, wrestler.
It's interesting to see Hogan the wrestler versus Hogan the entertainer. He was still whatever interesting to watch as an entertainer, but when you see him wrestle, you're like, oh, he's a wrestler. And he just had the look to be the entertainer, so that's the role they put him in.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, just switch it, tone it down, give us three moves, and you're good.
But even the clips of him in AWA, like where he's wrestling like Greg Gagne, like he wasn't like horrible. Like,
yeah.
He reminded me of an 80s metal guy who, you know, they play Beethoven making no money. And then I'll just dye my hair blonde and I'll play a pink guitar and I'll be in Poison and make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's basically that.
That makes sense.
Hogan was doing enziguris.
Enziguri, dude. A fucking jump up kick to the head. Like,
two or three of them.
Dude, I saw the Big Show. And I think it was a New Japan match or Inoki's. There's New Japan and what?
All Japan. I mean, there's a couple.
I think it might have been All Japan, He from the top rope did like a full on moonsault. Like, so I think the crowds over there demand. We're not in for the hey brother. We want to see.
They wouldn't understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
Say your prayers.
Means nothing
and
over
eat your
there.
Vitamins.
Yeah, but I don't know how you say brother. Arigato gozaimasu.
Okay.
Yeah.
I dated a Japanese girl for 6 years. I know the language.
Yeah, it sounded like you were fluent just now.
Arigato imas.
All right. As I was saying, Ricky Steamboat decided to come out of retirement and have a match. It's available online if you want to see it. It's not bad. It's better than Flair's last match. But it was him and FTR versus Arn Anderson's kid, Brock, Jay Lethal, and NWA's Nick Aldis. Did you not watch it?
I didn't see it.
Did you hear about it?
I just, after my Flair experience, seeing it live, I don't want to see these guys in their 60s or 70s in Flair's case. I'll assume Steamboat's in better shape than Flair, although Flair is in good shape for a 73-year-old. Because I saw the Andersons, Brock, and... I think Pillman Jr. Battling Morton and his kid. And Brock hit Morton so hard in the back of the head. Ricky Morton came up to me after the match. He's like, hey, what was the finish? I can't remember it. I didn't want to.
It's worth a watch. He wasn't bad. Ricky wasn't bad. He's definitely in better shape than Ric Flair. But, you know, you also got, you know, FTR. Basically, it's FTR versus Jay Lethal and Nick Aldis.
And how is Lethal in it?
Good. You know, he's just...
The guy's versatile, man. You can put him in there against anyone, and he's going to make them look good.
Why is FTR wasted wherever they go?
So that's part of my notes as well. The rumor is they're going to leave AEW pretty soon. They're being wasted. They don't want to give them title shots in AEW. I don't know why. Who knows? They're not being wasted in all the other companies. Like AAA puts them to work, and they're the champs. Ring of Honor, kind of. That's all AEW shit. But New Japan puts them to work against the United Empire and a bunch of other people. So I think they're going to leave, not only because they're not being booked, but also they're big CM Punk guys. So if CM Punk's actually gone, they're probably not too stoked.
Well, I think they're not the best on the mic. Amazing wrestlers.
Sure.
But, you know, in this day and age, especially on American television, AEW, their promos are pretty, like, they're just bland. Top guys out. Like,
yeah, they're standard old 80s pro wrestling promos. Like, we're here to kick ass and whatever.
Yeah. Listen, if this was 86, I'd be on board with them in a tag match against Magnum TA and Iceman King Parsons. But, like, they're just pro. I don't think younger audiences, they don't want to see great wrestling. They want to be entertained.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, they for their sake, I hope that they do whatever makes them happy. And I think at this point, it's to go back to Trips. Triple H is a big fan. Also, you know, the whole way the whole CM Punk thing went down. I know you still think it's a work, but CM Punk is gone. And who was it that somebody actually
mentioned? I'm reading that he's not. I'm reading that AEW is no longer interested in buying out his contract. That was the last story I read.
But yeah. They did put Harwood against, what was it, Danielson. I thought that was a weird, like, singles match. Like, so maybe they're trying to keep them. Like, hey, here's a bone. You get a singles match against Prime TV spot. I mean, you know, I could see them going, okay.
That match was really good on Dynamite. That was
of course
really
it is,
because
they're both great.
Yeah, really
but
good
I match. Think that I think we're starting to see who Tony Khan likes as wrestlers and investments and who he signed to just get away from WWE. He just wanted to keep away from WWE, and I think FTR falls into that circle. I also I'm starting to see the trend of just wrestling companies are not investing in tag teams. They just don't see tag teams headlining, and I think the biggest headline match we're going to ever see for a tag team in our generation is going to be the WrestleMania Usos versus Kevin and Sammy. Like, that's going to be a match people are looking forward to, where we haven't seen that since WrestleMania 2000 with the Hardys, Edge and Christian, and the Dudleys.
Yeah.
I think that they haven't built tag team wrestling back up yet. And Tony Khan's throwing three titles, three triple tag team, whatever the fuck they're the called.
That's replaced.
Oh, it's garbage. Tag team,
wrestling in AEW anyway, because there are some good trios.
They're almost all trios. Yeah. Almost everyone in there is involved in a faction.
Yeah, the faction wars. We'll see what happens, man. I honestly, look, I'll concede, you know, if this all ends up being a work with CM Punk, you know, I got worked. That's fine. But I really don't think it's a work. Who was it? Somebody came out recently and said that they were out of the company. Somebody that they interviewed. I forget, but there was somebody who a wrestler was interviewed and they said, yeah, well, you know, the plan was this with CM Punk and MJF, but then, you know, CM Punk's out of the company. So who knows? I guess we'll finally get word one day. And then the last thing I had, I wanted to talk about was MJF. You know, we talked about it earlier, but his new triple B or 3B, what is it that he called it? The big Burberry belt. What did you think?
I mean, as long as he's the champion, I think it's great that he would customize the belt for himself.
What do you think about the way it looks? Like, would you buy a replica Burberry championship belt from AEW? I know you already have the scarf.
He already bought the belt.
No, I don't have the scarf. That, you know, this is, you know,
I saw you wearing the scarf.
No, that was in the crowd. I asked some loser.
Oh, okay.
Actually even weirder.
No, my buddy's like, let me take a picture with you, you know, do the MJF thing. I'm like, hey, dude, can I just some...
It's weirder that you borrowed another guy's scarf.
100%. The guy's like, hey...
Than buying your own scarf.
Well, I sat next to this guy. He's like, hey, I swear to God. He's like, you're Earl from the Comedy Store Wrestling Podcast. I'm like, yeah, so I knew I had this guy in my pocket. I'm like, hey, can I borrow your MJF scarf for a second?
Oh, my God. That's so embarrassing.
It is. I was paid $900 to sit in the fucking third row or something.
And he was about to give me shit for talking about him buying a scarf. You bought pants. You bought Rick Rude pants. You just said the story.
Yeah, because Comedy Central didn't have the foresight to go, okay, this is a good look. People tune in and go, this guy's got lips on his crotch.
Look, is it that hard to believe?
I got my money back.
Is it that hard to believe that you would buy a scarf?
I would. The point of this rant is if they've got all his T-shirts. He's got like 20 T-shirts. You don't have that scarf would fly off the shelf.
They don't sell it?
No, they don't.
Oh, I could have sworn they had that in AEW shop.
No.
Yeah.
I've looked.
Look it up, John.
I'm pretty sure that they were selling it at events.
Unless.
Or maybe it's at an event. Maybe it's at the live show.
Maybe it's at events.
Yeah. Maybe
but it's
at
not.
The live
you would think on the website an idiot like me would pay. I actually went into Burberry the other day at Century City Mall to buy it. And it's like a $400 scarf. I'm like, I'm good.
Wait, did you get the Hanukkah shirt?
Wait, who has what Hanukkah shirt?
Is this just a holiday shirt?
I did buy some more shirts on AEW, which is pro wrestling tees, I guess.
Shout out to Violent Miracle for this amazing Muda shirt. I'm very happy with it.
That is a great shirt.
I love it.
And a shout out to Pro Wrestling Tees for charging me full price for my 2J Lethal Machismo shirts that are en route as we speak.
I finally got my WWE Shop shirt. I got the Good Brothers, the fucking Japanese in the front and in the back. It says, "I got your back." I was going to wear that today, but this arrived today, so I put this on instead. But would you buy a Burberry belt replica?
No, I mean, I if they gave it to me, like the sponsor, I'd rather buy a leather jacket, to be honest with you. When you're talking about wrestling shirts are one thing, $29, but, you know, when you're talking $400 or $500 belt, I'd rather buy a leather jacket or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've considered buying the Winged Eagle one, the old school championship belt, because I really like the design, or the WCW Undisputed belt. But I've decided in my brain, I'm not going to drop that money. I want to earn it. So, I want someone to give it to me at some point. I'm putting that out there into the universe. Give me a Winged Eagle belt, someone. Anyway. I didn't like the belt design. I thought they could have done better with the pattern. It looks kind of faded already, and
yeah, it didn't pop.
It didn't pop. They should have made it pop. But it's cool that they're giving him his custom belt. You know, better than that weird fucking. You remember when Daniel Bryan was vegan, the vegan warrior, and they gave him like the belt made out of wood and beads, and it was like potato sack. Like, what the fuck? I don't know. Thankfully, it wasn't any of that.
But I will say a shout out to Regal for really selling that. I really thought it was hurt.
Oh my God.
But he didn't move a quarter of an inch.
He reminded me of those old toys that you push the bottom and the toy collapses.
But
the second he got hit, he just went.
You can sometimes see when someone's hurt, they move a little, or when they're faking being hurt, who was it when Rollins and Ziggler were hurt, when Sting and Triple H were doing the thing when Sting debuted? You could see Rollins talking to Ziggler when is this shit over? Regal, he didn't, he sold it. I'm because you could tell the crowd got real quiet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even they were like, is this real or not? I mean,
yeah.
And maybe it was because Hangman was on the show earlier and they thought, that guy had an injury, he's popping around like mad. Regal looks pretty fucked up right now.
Yeah. I mean, he's old and experienced, but also kind of concerning of he has neck injuries, you know? It was a little kind of ooh. I saw the replay and it wasn't stiff at all, but, you know, when you take bumps like that at that age with that history of injuries, I don't know. It's a little risky. All right. Also, before we move on to the topic, I'd like to officially acknowledge our new comedy store champion, Earl Skakel.
I didn't even know I won it.
You won the Survival Series. Survivor. I keep saying Survival.
Survival Series.
Survivor Series predictions based on the matches.
Oh, okay.
So, congratulations, the new champ.
What does that mean for
you? Take this home, pictures
good.
Of
I'll
it.
I'll just leave it here.
All right. And then,
but this is Pro-Am belts. They do make the good shit. If I had a hot day tonight, I would bring this over. Just go.
Oh, dude.
Hey, baby, you want to see what's underneath this belt?
Just lay
this. This thing ain't gonna suck itself.
That picture of Shawn Michaels with the belt on his crotch. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I mean, I could do some nude. We'll get Van Corona or Matt down here.
I think we're okay
with the shag carpet we got here. It'd be nice.
Or we'll get Pam back in the mix.
All right, so this topic that I picked was heels, based off of, you know, the MJF. He turned heel at the pay-per-view, and then he turned heel again on Dynamite, extra heel. I don't know. I thought of heels, and I wanted to see top three heels current, top three heels legends, and the worst heel turn, the one that you were like, really? I don't buy it. So I'm going to start with top three heels current. Obviously, MJF is number one for me. How about you, Earl? Is that the same?
I mean, can I say the same? I don't want to be just rapid. I mean, he's the best, I think, in either company. It's not even close.
Yeah. How about you, John?
I mean, how are we defining heel? Because I think Roman Reigns blows him out of the water. He's supposed to be a heel.
I don't.
That's the thing, though. But, he's not acting like a heel.
I mean, if we're going to talk about who's getting the most heat,
yeah, who's
MJF is not
heel.
Getting as much heat as Austin Theory.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I would say Austin Theory gets booed out of the arena.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's...
So is that your number one?
I think Austin Theory right now is my number one. And I hate it because I genuinely want people to like him because he's good.
Yeah. Number two for me would be Dominic Mysterio. Talk about someone getting booed out of an arena.
I can't believe this shit is still going on with the Judgment Day. Get rid of them.
No, never. Never get rid of them.
Oh, my God.
I want to see Rhea and Dom fuck on Raw. So let's go. How about you, Earl?
Tough thing to follow. I don't see anyone fuck on Raw.
Actually, I want to see Rhea fuck Dom on Raw. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see them fuck. I want to see her fuck him somehow.
Kenny Omega. And I know he's like in the middle of like, is he a face? Is he a heel? But like, I think.
No, he's definitely a heel.
Yeah, but you know, he shows elements like with the United Empire Osprey thing, the brief promo in America anyway. He was kind of the face in that. But I like Omega. He's just a great wrestler, great on the mic. He's my number two.
How about you, John?
Ronda Rousey.
Is she a heel?
She's with Baszler, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, she was definitely the heel in that match. Shotzi's the face.
Yeah.
She's a heel, and she's getting booed even when she's not performing. Twitter is booing her out of the fucking business.
But that's good, though. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah. That's why she's my top, my number two heel.
You know, it's like that's the ultimate. You get people to buy the pay-per-view, want to see her get killed, and a few people want to see her win. So,
but also, she's not a heel because her character. She's a heel because she's genuinely bad.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever sells pay-per-views.
Well, no, but that's not selling any pay-per-views. If she was headlining a pay-per-view, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm agreeing. I don't care about Ronda Rousey.
I mean, I think she brings in a few non-wrestling fans. Not a ton, but, you know, there are MMA fans who probably have bought Survivor Series. Just to, you know, she was huge in that. She was the, really the, you got to understand. Like,
when was her last match there?
Amanda Nunes, a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long time ago.
But she, you know, I've watched MMA since you had to go to Best Buy and get the VHS
Ooh.
Of an event that was 6 months ago. Like, she was a founding woman of women's MMA. I mean, you got to understand, women's MMA was not looked upon favorably by anybody. Even Dana White said you'll never see a woman headline a pay-per-view. So I do think she brings in a few MMA fans that otherwise would not order a pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
And they probably want to see her win.
Yep. I am going to go ahead and actually agree with John on number three with Roman Reigns. I had someone else in mind, but it's not enough. Like, I had LA Knight in mind because he's really good, but... You know, if Roman is a heel, even though he's not acting very heelish, I mean, he's the GOAT. He's the God mode and all that. So I'll go with Roman Reigns.
That's a tough one. I'm going to go with I like Britt Baker.
Ooh, nice.
You know, okay. She's got the cowardly heel thing going.
Yeah.
You could already see she's planning to F Jamie Hayter over. You know, she makes it all about herself. And it's funny, when I met her at the Grove, she couldn't have been any nicer. I hate meeting them when they're heels because they're so. Jay Lethal is like the nicest guy I've ever met in my life.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Most of the people that are heels are like that. Like Ethan Page. Runner-up for me, by the way. Ethan Page, great heel. Looks like an asshole. He's got the douche face. And he acts like it on TV. One of the nicest people.
He reminds me of Brendan Schaub.
Oh, well.
I want to piss off the...
Well, you know.
The MMA community.
But, you know, Ethan Page was linked with the American Top Team, right?
Oh, so there you go. I brought up Schaub once at the Improv. I got no beef with the guy.
Yeah. How about you, John? What's your third heel?
I'm going with another lady, Bayley. Love Bayley as a heel. Yeah. Love heel Bayley.
Yeah.
I think she is, I think this is going to be a situation where the two people under her turn on her. They have titles. She's not carrying her weight. She keeps failing to win. So I think there's another turn coming.
Yeah. And she's fucking hilarious. I don't know if you saw that backstage after the brawl that they did in the fake merch area. She was getting arrested or something. She's like, what are you going to do? Take me to jail? I'll break out.
she's great. Well, that's what I loved about Billy Kay and the other one. They were fucking hilarious as heels.
Oh, yeah.
The things that they would scream
in their promos, the Iconics.
Yeah. When the things they would scream in their promos and backstage, it was really, really funny. So I kind of love that about a heel where they can be a little bit looser and scream nonsense and actually be funny.
Yeah. All right. How about legendary heels? People that are not current. Number one for me, Ric Flair. How do you not start with that?
He's the GOAT. I think he's the best ever, but...
Yeah. The dirtiest player in the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, that would be my number one. There's no one better.
I would say Eddie Guerrero.
Ooh. Eddie's my... All right.
I think that's more my generation's Ric Flair in terms of dirty players. Like the removal of the shoe, the faking getting hit with a chair. He was dirty in a different way that I thought was genius.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Another one for me, Jake the Snake Roberts. I mean, his feud with Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
That changed my life when I was a little kid. So, Jake the Snake. Also, just the fact that he just cuts promos kind of quietly, very viciously. Just, he's methodical. He wasn't just out there like, oh, kick your ass. Blah, blah, blah. Like, he was just, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And,
very cerebral.
Yeah, very cerebral. I love it. So, Jake the Snake.
The wrestling crowd, it worked.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with someone, maybe his greatest feud was with Jake the Snake, Rick Rude.
Nice.
The promos, like, just to call some guy in the crowd some fat slob and he's cheering you. And, you know, I just think he had it all. It's crazy to me that he never won a world title. But he had the look.
Did he ever get any title? He got the IC title,
right? IC, and he had some great matches with Warrior and Macho Man. He carried Warrior to like some good matches, but
I think everybody carried Warrior into some good matches.
Not everyone, really. Hogan, which is crazy, and Macho Man and Rude, I think, were Warrior's best matches, but Rude had, he had it all. I think he grew up, I'll guess Hogan was like, I'm not losing to this guy. And it's like, what can you do?
Make him look like he's blowing you on, and that'll be a meme for the rest of time. What about you, John?
I mean, I don't know if he qualifies as a legend yet, but Kane. Kane set some people on fire. He set Jim Ross on fire. Paul Bearer, fire. I kind of like those weird qualities. They don't have to always be a heel on the mic, but just the thing, pushing Zack Ryder off. Didn't he push Zack Ryder off stage with the broken neck?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just nonsense makes me like them as a heel.
Okay.
That is number two behind the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. Was when Hogan pushed the Giant off like a 15-story building. And then the Giant comes, or Paul White. I don't know what they were calling him in WCW. Was it Paul?
Just the Giant.
Andre the Giant's son. I mean, that was ridiculous. But 2 minutes later, after falling off a 15-story building, he's in a match. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Number three for me, Roddy Piper. The dude would generate amounts of heat that would lead to him almost dying in public because people were trying to kill him. That is a legend to me for heels. I mean, that match, my favorite match actually, Goldust and Roddy Piper in that outside street match when it like he's just punching him in the face for real, smashing him into that car. I don't know if you remember that match at all, but you should go back and rewatch that match.
I mean, Roddy, like, when he wrestled Bad News Brown and he was in half blackface, like, that's insane. Like, like even for 80s wrestling, even Bad News Brown was like, I wanted to kill that motherfucker. I mean, there's so many. I don't want to pick Roddy, although he could be number one. I mean, if there's no Roddy, there's no WrestleMania. Yeah. He's the first one. I'm going to pick like an old school, like an NWA guy. It's because, you know, we're picking all these. I'm going to go, and you're going to, I know you guys are going to laugh as soon as I say the name, but Kamala. No. I'm telling you. I'm begging you guys. Kids were.
Woo! Okay. Here's what I think happened.
No, but let me tell you why.
The Kamala estate left Earl a piece of it, and he's just trying to make whatever money he can off of the Kamala estate.
But see, this is a generation thing where you guys remember him as the cartoon guy. Like, you know, although I did find it funny.
I didn't know him personally. That's all he was to us.
But, I mean, like, there's generations, like I'm older than you guys, so I remember when Jerry Lawler brought him in to Memphis Wrestling, and the first promo was him. It was actually Jerry Jarrett's backyard, but they portrayed it. He was in Africa. people were crying when he came. Kids were crying because they thought, this guy's going to jump into the crowd and start eating us. Like, I don't think there's ever been a heel character that did that to a crowd. Like when Roman Reigns comes out or Rude came out or even Piper, like, I don't think anyone's made people cry like Kamala did. And I like to throw in, and it's almost a very, can I pick one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
And this goes, because I've been watching this show on Vice, Tales of the Territories. And it's by the Dark Side of the Ring guys. So it's basically...
It's Billy and Chuck. He's about to say Billy and Chuck.
No, not at all. But this goes to not the cartoonish version, like when he got electrocuted in WCW, but Abdullah the Butcher, man. Like, if you go watch some of his early matches with Carlos Colon in Puerto Rico, and like, he's fucking hammering guys. Like, a fork, he's doing it too. This thing, like, you know, hey, just blade yourself. He was blading people for themselves. Like, you know, but I still stick with my Kamala choice. Name me another wrestler that's made kids cry in the crowd. Legit.
The Miz.
Yeah.
I don't.
By the way, sorry, runner up, The Miz.
Absolutely.
Oof. Oh, he's a great bad guy. Like,
yeah, what that, a heel.
we could all pick 10 each. It's insane. You know, Hogan, his initial run in NWO, you hated the fucking guy. Mainly for Thunder Down Under. Ooh, but that was a bad show. But like,
and then.
But wait, what's
you got John? We got John's third.
Oh, my third. I would say Owen Hart for a legend.
Ooh,
he was a great heel when he was a heel.
Yeah, King of Hearts.
He got his.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh God. All right. Oh, come
here
on.
We
go.
Well, listen. Can we add? Let's do one more round. Can we do one more? Bad guy.
Oh God.
Sure.
All right. You go first, Earl, because it sounds like you have something up.
No,
your
no.
Sleeve.
I'd like Eddie to go first. Oh, you know.
God. Well, if I'm gonna go with that runner up, I just said The Miz. The Miz.
Well, no, we're doing legend.
Oh, legend. Hmm.
I've got the ultimate bag. You're not beating this one.
Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hated Yokozuna growing up because he beat, he became champion. I forgot. It was an outdoor pay-per-view.
He beat everybody. Lex Luger, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I hated Yokozuna, even though later on in life I learned to love him. Yokozuna.
Part of the bloodline.
Part of the bloodline.
That's Do you want to go next? Because I don't think you're going to be able to follow this.
Oh, boy.
I want to try.
Okay. Talk about ultimate bad guys.
Oh, boy.
Heels.
Repo Man. He steals cars.
Doink.
Real life heat. You're not going to top Chris Benoit. Like.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Mic drop if these things dropped.
Drop it.
Name another guy.
Who's a bigger bad guy? I mean, Okay, fine. You win for the guy who killed.
I told you.
You win for the guy who killed his family. Sure.
That's a heel move.
It's
That's
a very heel move. A heel move.
And I said it before on this podcast. Where was the kid's tag team partner?
Oh, I get flying headbutt.
Right. Well, it wasn't flying. It was coming in off the leg press machine.
So what would be your final round?
I would probably have to go with, for a legend, Razor Ramon.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could be...
We don't need people who killed their family to be bad.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I'll just go
no,
with
Earl,
that.
It was a great pick. I think you were right.
Good pick.
There's no bigger heel than someone who murders their family.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Ted Bundy was a pretty big heel. He should have been a wrestler, right?
Well, I'd like to add one more, and you know, because I think we're all picking pretty much the big guy, you know, the big two companies and WCW. There are, you know, and Tales of the Territories has really opened my mind to like some great 80s guy, Bruiser Brody. You know, now you guys are way too young to remember him, but...
No, I love Bruiser Brody. And I'm ashamed that I didn't mention him, but yes.
I don't know him.
Oh, my God. Dude, you have to...
Did he kill his family?
He got killed.
He got killed in Puerto Rico, right?
Allegedly by Carlos Colon,
who's
in the WWE Hall of Fame still.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to play that game, Snuka, also pretty heel.
Oh, good heel. Killed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But you have, since you...
That's going to be next week's topics, the top three murders.
Oh, my God. The darkest of the dark side.
Committed by a wrestler.
Do you like Lex Luger or not?
Yeah. I mean...
You're not a super fan, but you're not a hater.
Yeah.
There's a match between him and Bruiser Brody where apparently, and you guys know this, the worst thing, and it happened to the fat kid... who went up to New Jack and said, hey, this is what I'd like to do. Oh, okay, cool. Lex Luger went up to Bruiser Brody and was like, hey, man, I'd like to do this. I put you in the Lex press and like you could. And Bruiser, okay. So they're in a cage match and Bruiser Brody's no-selling him and killing him, legit. It's a shoot fight. And Lex Luger's talking to the ref, who's Bill Alfonso from ECW. He's like, dude, what? I gotta get out of here. He's fighting for real. I didn't sign up for this shit. And he told Luger, just hit me and I'll DQ you. So you have to watch the match because you can tell at one point Luger's completely, he's very green. He's like 1 year out of football. And you got Bruiser Brody blading himself.
Jesus Christ.
Like Brody didn't give a fuck. And then Luger said he went up to him after and said, hey, man, I'm sorry. Like, and Brody just looked at him and said, we're good.
No, yeah, dude. I'm ashamed I forgot to mention Bruiser Brody, but for sure, 100% that dude. I mean, that's the reason I have a second dog, and his name is Brody because of Bruiser Brody. The third heel topic was worst heel turn. Now, I originally was like, well, bad. Like it was a heel turn, but it came out bad. But now I kind of want to make it worse for you personally. When you saw the heel turn, it affected you personally, and for me, it was Macho Man. When he teamed up with Sensational Sherry,
right?
It hurt me internally because Macho Man was my guy. And the whole story with him and Elizabeth, like, you know, it gave me hope and love, and you know, it just made me a happy kid. And then when he turned, became the Macho King with Sherry, it kind of broke my fucking heart. So what heel turn? I mean, I'm sure you're gonna say Hogan maybe, but do you have a heel turn that just broke your heart, mate? It was the worst turn for you.
I mean, Hogan's definitely like up there, but you know, I'll go off the board a little bit. And I brought this up before, but when was it Pillman and Arn Anderson were fighting Flair and Sting, and
yeah,
it was just a setup. Like, I got angry. I was like, fuck Flair. Because it was so well done, like, and they really made you believe that Sting and Flair, through their horseman lineage, had patched over their differences. And you know, when Sting made the tag and Flair looked like he was gonna hit Anderson and just turned and hit Sting, I got pissed.
Okay, and John, who broke your heart turning heel?
I don't have one that broke my heart, but like that affects me when it happens every time Big Show turned heel.
In WCW or WWE?
Any
All of them.
Every 2 weeks he turned heel, and it would infuriate me because it was, aside from it being predictable for the sole fact that that's what they used Big Show for, I just couldn't watch it anymore. I was like, enough. Give him a path or get him out of here. He's a giant guy who was still pretty nimble.
Oh, yeah.
When he was starting that heel turn bullshit. And every 3 weeks, good guy, bad guy, good guy, bad guy, good guy, bad guy. I couldn't deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
Although I will say, and I don't know if this counts, I was watching an old clip when, I don't think Sid was a face at the time, but they brought him in to the Four Horsemen. And, you know, the matchups were pretty set. I think it was Flair and Sting. And then they had Sid cut a promo on battling RoboCop. And it was just kind of, oh, this isn't like, you're really hamstringing him. Like, he's got to cut a promo on some fictional movie character. It's pretty funny, but, like, that might be the worst, like, heel promo. Like, you're totally leaving. How do you cut a promo? It's like, RoboCop, you bucket of bolts.
I liked that as a kid because I was a big RoboCop fan, too. So, I don't know. It's bad looking back at it as an adult. But as a kid, I was all right with it.
But great improv ability. If you go back and watch that, I think it was Capital Combat 91, where I think we've talked about it before, where they didn't, you talk about AEW's planning at times, they didn't figure it's going to take RoboCop. You know, Sting was in the cage.
Yeah.
RoboCop's coming down to rescue him. And it took RoboCop a significant amount of time. And so the Four Horsemen, I think it was Sid, Anderson, Barry Windham, and Flair, they kind of had to improv like until RoboCop could get to the cage. And it's pretty funny to watch four guys in the 80s who probably coked to the gills.
Oh, yeah.
And got more HGH running through them than a horse doing... You know, even the announcers are like trying to cover. It was almost a Shockmaster level botchery.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that'll do us for this week. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Make sure to follow us at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Stores War on Twitter. Go to YouTube and subscribe to the Comedy Store channel so you can watch all our videos. Send us an email, comedystorewrestling@gmail.com, with any suggestions you may have. You can follow me personally at RRBG Podcast. Earl, where do they find you?
At Earl Skakel everywhere and Inappropriate Earl Podcast after you listen to this podcast. And I'm at the Comedy Store you know, a couple times a week. So come on down as my guest.
And you can follow producer John over at Comedy Store Studios, which is, this is officially it right here. This is Comedy Store Studios. Follow our sponsor at Pro M Belts. Make sure to use that promo code 10FF. To get 10% off.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
John, can people buy the Comedy Store record player, or is that just for the comics?
Yes, you can buy it.
Because let me tell you something, and you did not ask me to say this. I busted my Comedy Store record player cherry by playing Rat's EP. I'm not a big vinyl guy. It was amazing. So where can they buy that?
Shop.comedystore.com or... ComedyStoreRecords.myshopify.com.
And myself and Russell Peters went out and bought Kiss's 40th anniversary blue vinyl Creatures of the Night just to listen on my record player.
It's got Earl's name on it.
Yeah.
So pick one up.
Earl Skakel.
All right. We'll
All
see you.
Haters, where's your name on the record player?
That's right.
You fucking nope. Marks.
Here we go. Here we go, John.
I'll always be better than you guys. I got a big dick, $65,000 car in the Argus spot in the driveway. Got a spot on Saturday night. What do you guys got? Nothing. You hate me, but you know I'm right. Fucking losers.